All right, it looks like it is live now on the COPA site. So we'll go through it and we'll take a look at it and we'll try to get you as much information as we can here.
All right, we are going to talk about the police reform side of this. Alderman Rosanna Rodriguez will be joining us, but Sergeant Pete is here now about the police perspective. You haven't seen the video yet. It will take some time, just at least next few minutes, in order to absorb it for even our news department. But I just wonder, as something like this is about to be released, just talk about the police perspective here, about what you know and what do you expect?
I'm fully expecting it to show that this young man had a gun in his hand and that this police officer reacted and shot. And I would be shocked with the information that's come out from the state's attorney. You have to understand they presented evidence to a judge in order to hold Roman for having the possession and shooting this gun on that day. So they had to present all the evidence that was available to them, and the state's attorney saw the tape before he presented his case. So I'm more than sure that when all the information comes out that this young man somehow, Roman gave the gun to him, passed the gun to him, and the kid fled. And this officer had to react. And to give an analogy, very quickly, when you're involved in a police shooting or somebody is, pulling a gun or pointing a gun at you, you have about the same amount of time that Jose Abreu has to decide to swing on a fastball in a baseball game. That's how quick it happens. And it's unfortunate that decision has to be made so quickly. And if you hesitate, which is what I'm afraid the police officers will do, I would be afraid that more police officers would get shot. The mayor today, in the speech prior to the release of this tape, she made some remarks, about they're concerned about the community, the neighborhoods, and how we can get together and how we can stop this stuff and what we can do and outreach programs. But she referred to police corruption, which is understandable and has been there. But she used the term police violence, and I don't agree with that terminology. And I don't see how that fits into this scenario of all police violence. There are bad cops. You know that. Mm-hmm.
There is also some onus on the city here with the Anjanette Young case and the Wrong House raid. They weren't all that quick to release that footage either, and people were fighting to have it released. So it doesn't seem as if they can actually claim like there's no issues with the city as well when it comes to these sorts of issues and just point a finger at the police department. There's clearly a history of abuse. You and I have talked about this a ton. I think in this case, what will be meaningful is, did he point the gun in the direction of the police officers? There's some, I understand like you do, that the prosecutor's account in courts has been so far. That's the only account we've had, because the only people have seen her so far, the mayor, the family, and some prosecutors and a few people in law enforcement, is that he did point the gun. 13-year-old Adam Toledo had a gun pointed in the direction of the officers. They told him to drop it. When he didn't, they shot him. There is the investigative unit at WGN-TV, though, this afternoon is saying that he had a gun in his hand when he was shot, that was not something that necessarily is true, because now they're saying the prosecutor who said that failed to fully inform himself before speaking in court. So I guess we'll have to see, and we'll know in just moments here, as Ryan will break in after he's seen it, to let us know what you actually do see on the tape. If he has a gun and it isn't pointed in the direction of police officers, you're well aware of police policy. Would it be within the bounds of reason for a police officer to then shoot him if he didn't point it in their direction?
If you turn with the gun in your hand, you're justified in shooting. I'm watching, they're going to play the tape momentarily, so I'll be watching it while I'm talking to you. If the young man raised his hand with the gun in it, the officer's justified. It's, I'm telling you, it's heartbreaking for the police officer to kill a 13-year-old. But it's a split-second decision, and that's what's so scary. And that's, I mean, think how fast it is for a baseball to go from the pitcher's mound to home plate. And that's the time that you have to react. And it's a life or death decision. And, but I'm sure that this officer regrets that he killed this kid. And I'm sure that he really didn't have the intent to kill this kid. And it was by, at the distance they were, maybe it was, you know, it's an unfortunate coincidence that he even hit the child. Hmm. But the story is he's with a gangbanger, a known gangbanger, family of gangs, gang members. He had a gun. He shot it 8 times. He was out on probation for having a gun. What's this 13-year-old kid doing there? And then the real issue is going to come down to this: these gangs are smart enough to know, hey, we shoot somebody, we throw a gun to a 13-year-old, he ain't going to jail. So let the 13-year-old carry the guns. And in the old days, it used to be they'd let the young girls carry the guns.
Yeah. I mean, I think the point of him being there, I get what you're trying to say there. I think many would react and say that doesn't mean he deserves this if he's not having a gun in his hand or if he was doing the kinds of things that don't make a justifiable shooting. And I think that's the issue here. Will it be a justifiable shooting? And you need to sort of take a look at that as we understand the actual details and the facts. And I don't think the tape will tell you everything, but it'll tell us a lot. The other point made by the mayor today was this whole idea of foot chases. Very emotional news conference. I don't know if you saw it, Sergeant Pete, but she talked about foot chases, and we need a full review. Superintendent's got to get on this. He has been tasked with a difficult task, and that is to come up with a policy that's better than the one we have. What do you think you can do that's better than the one we have? What would you say works there?
Well, the problem always is going to be two coppers chase a guy. One copper is going to be in better shape and run faster, and you're going to lose the other guy. Years ago, we only had one radio for two policemen. When you got split up, there was real concern at that point. Real concern. Now you wonder where your partner is, and then you hear a gunshot. You don't know if your partner's been shot or if your partner shot somebody. Now you're trying to find out where your partner is. Foot chases are inherently dangerous. There's a high percentage of those that end up in shootings. But they also, a few years ago, there was a police chase on foot where a young man was running, and he was almost a full block ahead of this policeman. He reached behind himself while he was running full speed, fired the gun, and hit the policeman in the face.
Yeah.
Pure chance.
Sergeant Pete, hang on a second. You're pointing out the realities of being a police officer, and that's an important context to have. Ryan Burroughs in the news department, he has now seen the videotape of 13-year-old Adam Toledo, the one that has been released by the city, by COPA. And what did you see, Ryan?
Yeah, you see the officer. I mean, it's body-worn camera from the officer's chest. The officer is chasing and actually shoves, I believe Roman is the first person, shoved down to the ground. He continues to chase Toledo, and he yells multiple times, "Drop it, drop it." Says right as they get into the alley, "Show me your bleeping hands." At that point, Toledo turns, and I'm trying to freeze frame it. It's very, very difficult, but he appears to put his hands into the air. Don't know if he's got anything in his hands at that time, but it happens so quickly that the shot is fired.
So say that last part again. So the officer chases him down the alley, and you can't see if he has a gun in his hand at the time?
I could not determine that. Obviously, you're seeing it in the dark with body cam footage, but at the moment he says, "Show me your hands," Toledo turns around right where there's like an alleyway with a fence, and he turns around, and his hands are kind of raised. I don't know if there's anything in his hands. I don't know if he's dropped anything at that point. But right as he turns and faces the officer is when you hear the gunshot fired.
Hmm. Interesting. Wow. Pete, what do you make of that when you hear that description that Ryan just gave us?
Yeah, well, it appears, you know, you've got all that technical stuff there, you know, to slow down and speed up the tape. There has to be some sight, clear sight of this gun in this kid's hand. It has to be there somewhere. And if it's not, then you do have a problem. But I can't see it not. Everybody's talking about it, but nobody's playing the news. Here's the tape. I'm watching the tape now. Mm-hmm. The policeman's yelling, "Show me your hands, show me your hands." And, the still frame, he's got the shirt on, says, "Just do it." It doesn't really show, it's really hard to see a gun here.
That's what you said too, Ryan. It slows down there to sort of suspend that moment in time, but still difficult to make it out.
Yeah.
Hey, Ryan, go ahead.
Yeah, no, exactly. And really, a lot of the video, I mean, we're talking, there are over a dozen, I think 17 videos, and a lot of them, it's the first one that actually shows the shooting. Everything else is the other officers who are responding and trying to resuscitate him and, all the calls that come over following it. But it's just, I mean, literally, we've tried to isolate about 4 seconds when everything kind of happens at once. And it's a challenge to figure out what's going on. So it'll be interesting to see what everyone's take is.
Mm-hmm. It will. Hey, Sergeant Pete, just knowing what you know in terms of what you just saw, if someone is running down an alley, is it police responsibility to make sure there is a gun in his hand? What would be the police policy there? I know you're someone very aware of police policy. What would be the way you would handle a situation like this if you were in a perfect world?
Well, in a perfect world, the kid wouldn't have a gun. But it's the kid's running. Roman is already knocked to the ground. The kid's running. They know the kid had the gun. The guy sees the kid with the gun. Now he turns, and from the one view that I saw, the light is so bright, you cannot tell if that boy has a gun in his hand. But the other camera angles might show it differently. Because if that officer sees that boy with the gun at his side, and that boy turns, and he didn't drop the gun, and the gun is found right next to that fence, this is a zinger. You can't damn either one of them. I would say that if there's all these different views, there would have to be a clear, precise video showing that boy with the gun. Because you can run and run and run if you got the gun, and then all of a sudden you turn, that officer is assuming you still have that gun if he doesn't see it any other place. I'm watching it again. Turns to the officer and the officer fires. Yeah, I mean, this is the one view.
Sergeant Pete, let's pause here because you can get a chance to maybe slow it down yourself and take a look at it. You can join us later and weigh in. But thank you for the perspective. And this is, again, a difficult moment as lots of people will be watching this young 13-year-old die in the hands of a police-involved shooting, the details of which it sounds as if we're not getting exactly all of the answers we wanted from this video. But the body cam videos have been released and lots of supporting evidence. So let's see what you make of it as you have a chance to go through it. Thanks for joining us, and we'll try to have you rejoin us a little bit later after you've had some time to take it all in. Thanks, Sergeant Pete.
All right. Sure.
Robin Kaler is going to join us. She's the Associate Chancellor at University of Illinois. Will they require vaccines to go back to campus? We're going to talk with her about that. Also, of course, keep you posted on all the details that come through via the news department and the new release of this videotape. I understand the family is expected to speak, or at least their attorneys, coming up in just a little bit here. We'll also talk with Alderman Rosanna Rodriguez. She is an advocate for police reform, and we'll see what she has to say about what she's seen on that tape. Coming up. 10 and lots of reaction to the Adam Toledo video being released. It's on the COPA website. It's on our website, WGNradio.com. You can see it if you'd like to. It is painful to watch it. It is a young man losing his life, and there are several sort of vantage points they've released. Still, I think the bottom line here is the certainty we had hoped for maybe isn't really there. There are folks sharing on social media now the frozen frame of video that shows this young man with his hands appearing to come up. complying with police, but there is video where police show just before that, and it's difficult, it's grainy, it's hard to see that show where he dropped the gun maybe just a second or two before separating that the shots. And just again, Sergeant Pete, I know you've had a chance to take it in from the police perspective here. I don't see the clear certainty about whether or not he had the gun or not. It is so difficult for me to tell. What is it that you see there?
It's dark, it's grainy. The boy's running, the police officer's chasing. His eyes are the best judge of whether there's a gun in that boy's hand. And as they get to the end of where the boy finally is, you know, going to surrender, he's facing away from the policeman with his right side at the fence. At that point, could that boy have dropped the gun and then turned quickly at the police officer? The police officer fired because he didn't see the gun fall behind the fence. And if you recall, the pictures they showed show the gun laying by a fence. So it comes down to the views that they're going to get from the church or from the school or from other cameras and this officer's testimony. But, you know, the community organizer Enriquez is calling it murder, and he's fueling the flames. And yet there's no definitive answer as to what happened. You have to go by what the policeman actually saw, why he's running. And if he sees that gun, because you saw in the video, it's very dark there. You saw that. And so if that policeman sees that gun in his hand, and this kid then makes that move to turn, whether he dropped the gun a split second before that or not, that policeman has to make that decision that in his mind he didn't, and he fired. And then you hear the policeman, shots fired, man, where you hit? You know, take it easy. I called an ambulance, and he's trying to give the kid first aid. So it's a horrible video. I don't think, and it'll take some time, we're just not going to be able to have a definitive answer, and it's all going to rest that policeman, his report. I saw the gun. I saw him running. You see that, you know, even they mentioned that they knock a civilian down. The person that got knocked down was Reuben Roman, the guy that fired the original seven or eight shots. That's what you see. And now the videos are showing the police using tourniquets and everything to help this kid. And it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy.
It is. And
I
just
can't find fault yet. There's no fault here.
The stories are already being written based on that one frozen frame of video I referenced that we will see, if you haven't seen them already, that he was complying with police at that moment. They're still shotting that one shot, and it's being shared everywhere. And to me, it doesn't show the whole
yelling,
picture.
Stop, 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 right? Anna, he's yelling, stop, 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 mm-hmm. stop. Mm-hmm. And then he goes to a break in the fence, and it, like most kids or most people will do, where you try to throw the gun and then turn. Well, the policeman doesn't see that. I'm assuming he doesn't. I can't say that. But the policeman is the actual person that actually saw what happened, where he had the gun. And if he didn't see the gun get tossed away, he's taking that the man still has the gun and turns around. And most of all, he doesn't know that the guy's 13 and he's a kid. He just sees a person with a gun after hearing seven or eight shots by the other guy who's 21 years old.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Police responded to that scene.
This is gonna be a tough one.
It is. It's tougher than I thought, because when you listen to the prosecutor in court for the 21-year-old man who he was with, Reuben Roman, who apparently has a history with police, he was in court, and the prosecutor shared a narrative that made this seem a lot more clear-cut than it actually is. That you drop the gun, show me your hands, drop it, show me your hands, show me your effing hands was uttered by the police officer, and then a shot was fired in his direction when he failed to do so. This video does not make that as clear cut as it seemed from that prosecutor's comments.
All it really does is line up with the prosecutor that the guy has a gun on his right side. And as he's turning, At that point, the prosecutor, the police doesn't know, the policeman, I'm sure, doesn't know that the gun maybe was dropped. And this boy turns towards the policeman and throws his hands up in the air. And, you know, it all comes down to if this kid would have just complied and stopped, thrown the gun over a fence, not been out there with that thug and take the gun from him. You know, there's so many things are lumped into this, and it all falls on the kid and the cop. And Reuben Roman, you know, he's just, you know, facilitator of this whole thing.
You're talking about the 20-year-old man he was with.
Murder.
Right.
Yeah, he should be charged with felony murder. Fox should get off a butt and charge him with felony murder. Because this kid got killed because of this guy's actions.
Quickly here, Sergeant Pete, before you go, I know you have 38 years as a Chicago police officer. You also worked in IAD where you were very involved with policies. They're talking about changing the foot chase policy based on this and other instances across the city that the mayor made that very clear today. She told the superintendent, we need to have some changes here. This foot chase policy can't be the way it is. I wonder what you think now that you see this, what could have been done differently? How should this be handled or what policies should be changed because of this?
Yeah, this was a good foot chase. Both the officers were in the chase. One guy tackled the one guy, and the other guy was tackling the other guy. And he was only, you know, I mean, not even a third of a block away. Every policy can be upgraded. Every policy can be changed. Is Brown the guy at this point to do those changes, or do they need to reach down and get the actual patrol division people, chief of patrol, commanders in districts, TAC guys, TAC lieutenants, to make these suggestions and decisions? Because you just can't have a policy of no chase at all, because guys just run rampant committing crimes.
Yeah. It's an important point. I saw the Chicago Tribune analysis of police shootings, and they did a very, very deep dive into this. Over 5 years, they looked at foot chases, and they said that they were involved in more than a third of cases in which someone was injured or killed. Obviously,
absolutely,
the mayor's looking at this and saying this is dangerous. She even mentioned this. It's dangerous for police. I mean, police can get fired upon in these situations. Members of the community could, you know. I mean, you're on foot, you're running, your adrenaline's going. There are guns involved and seconds matter. And that's why she's saying that we need something to be done here. Let's take a look at this policy and maybe there's a better way to do it. Final thought?
I think there's always a better way. And if, you know, 30%... if people are running and they're fleeing the police, God knows, and they start shooting, who knows who they're going to hit or what they're going to hit. Policing has to change like anything else has to change. You have to change from dial phones to cell phones. You have to change from gas lights to electric lights. Things have to grow. It's a living thing. It has to grow. And a change has to be made. But the change has to have some semblance of organization and thought behind it. You just can't say, don't chase anybody.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Sergeant Pete. It's a tough day all around. And for anyone who hasn't seen it.
Day.
All right, let's talk to Greg Pratt over the Chicago Tribune. He's been covering City Hall in the wake of the release of the Adam Toledo video. Greg, what can you tell us right now as you watch sort of the reaction pour into this videotape being released?
Well, the video is as disturbing as Mayor Lightfoot implied and suggested. It is a very graphic video where the officer is chasing a young man and tells him to drop it. And the boy is certainly shot with no... It looks very clear like he doesn't have a gun in his hand. It's not clear whether he's dropped it, when he dropped it, but it's a very disturbing video, and I don't recommend people watch it, but people probably should watch it because it happens very quickly, and I'm already hearing from aldermen who are very upset. You know, the community is upset. I think it's a very dark day in Chicago.
I think that's well put. It is sort of it's just so somber to see a young man lose his life. And then I would say to watch a video like this, it's hard not to react in a way that makes you feel for this young man and his family, and try to put it in as best context as possible to be fair to all parties here. I don't believe, and maybe you have, I've only watched it once and sort of seen some of the still frames. I don't know that there's the certainty around this that we really wanted and hoped for from this video. How would you characterize it, Craig?
I think, you know, the mayor, I think that's right, first of all. And I think the mayor has suggested that it needs to be watched in slow motion. COPPA did not release the slow motion video. My understanding, and this is tentative, is that CPD is in the process of doing maybe in a news conference. But it happens very quickly. And from that perspective, some people will find themselves sympathetic to the officer because it happens very quickly. Foot pursuits are dangerous, and you're responding to a dangerous thing, and you're reacting very quickly. One thing that strikes me that's interesting is when Jason Van Dyke shot Laquan McDonald, nobody tried to help Laquan McDonald, and this officer shoots the young man, and whatever happened leading up to it, and then he tries to help him. He tries to he does chest compressions. It's a very different attitude, which does not. I'm not saying it justifies or doesn't justify the shooting, but it's different than what you traditionally see in a Chicago police shooting.
Well, and it's also one of the points that was even brought up in the Derek Chauvin case with the officer in Minneapolis who was with the George Floyd, that there was no rendering of aid, and George Floyd maybe could have been helped by that. That was a point made in court during the trial that's underway now. And you're right, that is something worthy of note, worthy of pointing out. I'm sure you've seen the still frames, Greg, that everyone's sharing of the young boy that appears to be putting his hands up. A lot of folks just interpreting that as being he's complying with police. Why would this happen? I just wonder, when you write your stories, how are you going to handle weighing what you see there?
I think that's something that is very much in process of reviewing. I think there's, first of all, everyone, it feels like everyone in the city has watched the one video. There's about 17 videos, I think. There's a lot of videos that need to be watched for the full context. And, you know, the way the Chicago Tribune will handle it is by reviewing the whole full context. But obviously the video shows a very disturbing portrait and a very tragic event for this young man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree about that. Thank you, Greg. Anything else you want to say? I know the mayor is now proposing some changes to the foot chase policies, and she talked about illegal guns. There was a lot to say there. Any closing thoughts for you?
I think it's going to be interesting how the city reacts to this. It obviously puts pressure on her to do more for police reform. There's a lot of criticism she hasn't done enough. And it will be interesting to see what kind of shape the protests here in Chicago, because people are going to be upset, rightfully so. And what that shape takes in Chicago remains to be seen. But it's a time across the country, and Chicago is no different, where people are very animated by social justice issues, and people are going to feel strongly about this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Greg. Greg Pratt from the Chicago Tribune with us this afternoon. He covers City Hall there. We're going to get to our news at the bottom of the hour. Then we're going to talk with Alderman Rosanna Rodriguez. She's been very active in police reform. Also a pastor who put out an email to his neighborhood today, very outspoken about how he feels the city needs to come together at a moment like this. What he has to say also coming up here on WGN. 3:39, as you watch the video, and maybe you've chosen not to, Adam Toledo, the 13-year-old, shot in a police-involved shooting. That's now out. It's now public. Let's just take a moment to remember the family and know that this is someone's son, brother, cousin, and a 13-year-old boy who lost his life out there. As we look frame by frame to try to decide who was right, who was wrong, what should have been done, what shouldn't have been done, and whether or not this is a violation of police policy, I'm interested in getting a lot of different reaction. Alderman Rosanna Rodriguez is, I just wonder what it is you're hearing now at a time like this. What are your thoughts if you've seen the video? And I assume you have.
Yes, I watched the video right away. I'm devastated, as is probably the majority of our city. I am the mother of a boy. And what I saw in that video was a child with his hands up that looked like my child. So I am incredibly sad and angry right now. It's very hard to talk about this.
Mm-hmm. I hear you there, and I know which picture you're talking about because it's being widely circulated on social media right now. It appears that Adam Toledo at one point, and there's a frozen snapshot in time of him. He appears to be complying as he's bringing his hands up. That shot is out there. Others are sharing, though, maybe you've seen this too, Alderman, there's a shot of him with his one hand behind his back. It looks like his right hand. I'm looking at it now. And he appears to be dropping what looks like an object, potentially a gun, behind the fence there. I know police recovered a gun behind the fence there. Does that change at all your opinion about how police reacted here?
Absolutely not. To me, it was clear that this human being was scared. He was not pointing the gun at any point. He was not pointing the gun at the officer. He listened. He complied. He raised his hands. And while he was raising his hands, he got shot. So, no, there is nothing that can explain to me how it was necessary to kill a 13-year-old.
One of the things that's being reviewed right now is foot pursuits. It can't bring Adam Toledo back, but it can certainly change the policies moving forward. You heard the mayor talk about it right now. A police officer joined the show, so I seem to think that this does not violate police department policy. I suppose we have to let the courts decide that. But the policy itself, worthy of further scrutiny, what would you like to see in terms of foot pursuits for the Chicago Police Department? How should it be changed, or should they be eliminated?
I'm gonna change a little bit this question, because at this point, like, the amount of reforms that we have to talk about all the time in order to ensure that police is not killing our people is ridiculous at this point. What we need to do is move away from policing, have less contact between public and police. We need to fund the things that are actually going to keep us safe. We need to fund the things that could have allowed Adam Toledo to be doing things that were making him whole, right? We need support for families. We need to be able to support mental health. We need to not deploy police for every single social problem that we have in this city. And we continue to just give money for police and more training and more and different policies always end up in more funding for policing so that they can enact reforms that never end up in anything. We have failed as a city, absolutely failed to reform the Chicago Police Department. It is anti-reform. It is resistant to reform. We are trying, but it's impossible. So I don't know. Like, we have a consent decree that we haven't been able to advance. We haven't been able to dismantle the gang database. Well, I don't know what else we are supposed to do. Should we just keep giving the police like 50% now of our budget and hope that they're going to do better? Because they're not doing better. And a 13-year-old is dead right now. So I don't know what reforms or how much more money we have to put into this so that we don't lose any more of our people.
Alderman, tell me this, though. I mean, let's talk about some other facts here, too. He and the 21-year-old he was with, Ruben Roman, had shot 8 times, like minutes before this. Actually, 1 minute before this is when the shot spotter detected that. That's why police were there. They were shooting at another person in that neighborhood. And so you wonder, how do you deal with a situation like that when two people with guns are shooting at others in the neighborhood? That's another thing that you need to pay attention to. I understand what you're talking about in terms of the funding for things that actually help people in the neighborhood, but you also have
to
police.
So I called to this program, and we were talking about this particular moment in which this child was shot by police. And it seems to me that the rhetoric that we're hearing around everywhere is that did this child deserve to die? Was it justified that a police officer would shoot a 13-year-old because the officer felt threatened in some way? So I believe not, right? And if we want to stop seeing gang violence, if we want to stop seeing shootings, we have to invest in our communities, and we're not doing that.
Mm-hmm. At least not at the rate that we're investing in punishment, which is apparently all we know how to do. That is our whole public safety strategy. It's punishment. It's incarceration. That's what we do. Or execution on the street. So you're going to have to excuse me here, but I right now I am really angry about what I'm seeing. Not only in Chicago, but nationally.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that sentiment. I think there are a number of people who will feel that way when they see this.
Absolutely, I agree with that, yes.
And I know that you're pro-reform, and I appreciate getting your perspective today, Alderman. I really do. So thank you for, thanks for calling in to WGN. And
Thank you so much for having me.
Alderman Rosanna Rodriguez there, part of the Progressive Caucus and City Council, and part of the one of the people you can tell here, very passionate about police reform and putting more money into the neighborhoods and the community. A tough day for the city, a sad day for the city, no matter what way you look at it, with the release of that video of Adam Toledo. We've been talking about it, bringing you up to speed on that and reaction to it here on WGN this afternoon. Let's hear from Reverend Randall Blakey. He put out... you put out an email. I know some people I know got it, and they just thought that your words were good to hear. They were important to hear at this time. And so thank you for calling into the show today and spending some time with us, Reverend.
No problem. Thank you very much, Anna. You're right. It is a very sad day in the city of Chicago, and I can't even begin to imagine what it is like for the Toledo family or what it is like for this officer and his family. What we've witnessed today is a tragic situation that needs to somehow bring us all together so that we can begin to think on one accord and work towards a place of real honest and true peace in our city.
And you hope that that happens. I know you've been urging calm in the wake of this. You're one of the many, many voices across the city, the mayor and faith leaders, public officials, to protest and be peaceful about it. And that is an important way to have your voices heard. I just wonder what is it you are telling folks this afternoon as you try to explain, you know, something so difficult like this to take in and try to understand, as you try to kind of lead people through this moment in time?
So, you know, what we've experienced today in Chicago is not just happening within our city, but actually and unfortunately is happening throughout the country. And as faith leaders, as folks with influence, particularly within the communities of this country, and in particular in our city, we have to be mindful of the fact that there has to always be room for hope. There has to always be room for light at the end of whatever dark tunnel we may find ourselves in. And the light of faith, hope, and love needs to be shown brightly right now by every voice and every leader in the city of Chicago, so that we can get to a place where we don't have to discuss issues like this on a regular basis, but issues of prosperity and things that are going on positive in our community. And that's just the truth of the matter. What I've been encouraging people to do is to not give in to their anger, to their emotions, and to the frustration of all of this, but put our heads together and let's work towards a better tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. An important message at this time, for sure. Reverend, what have you seen the video? And I'd like to get your reaction to it, if so.
Yes, I've seen the video, very disturbing video to watch, and it's a very difficult video to size up, from my opinion. You can't just say that that this young man had his hands up and, you know, showed them to the officer, nor can you just say that this officer saw this young man with his hands up. What we're doing is we're analyzing a video, but what actually happened in real time, in milliseconds, literally. You can see that from the video. You know, from the video that the, at least from what I saw from the video, that the officer did see that the young man was holding a gun at one point. However, the gun did, you know, go from the young man's hands, and then the young man turned. But again, all of that happened in a millisecond. And so I'm not justifying the young man, nor am I justifying the officer. It's a tragic situation. And again, as I stated, I can't even begin to imagine what the Toledo family or this officer and this officer's family, what they're going through right now, because it's just a very difficult situation, and a situation that calls for some of the systemic failures in our society, and in particularly in Chicago, to be fixed, like, you know, common sense gun laws, the lack of investment in marginalized communities, the lack of quality affordable housing, lack of equitable education. If those things are not addressed and we don't come together to work towards a better tomorrow as it relates to those points that I've just raised, then unfortunately we'll be seeing a lot more of what we don't, of what we didn't want to see today.
It's an another important point. You think about how you get to where you are here now. We just talked to Alderman Rodriguez. There's a point she's making, is that she feels as if there are programs and ways to sort of get together to help us prevent young lives from taking this direction in the first place, from getting to where we are today. You heard the mayor speak eloquently about that today, too, that she had talked to a young man in Little Village, and that he spoke to her about passing by mural after mural of kids who've been gunned down by gun violence, and that is a painful way to grow up. It just think about the impact that has on a child growing up in a community like that, where you know kids who are being shot down by gun violence, and these kinds of interactions with police that aren't always positive or necessarily what they expect from police officers. That, you know, she talked about all the different things that have to come together. I feel as if I'm hopeful that we're on the right course, that this is not what we want to see, but that we're on the right course. Do you feel that way? Do you feel that kind of hope for the future for the city?
Oh, yes. I'm always hopeful, Anna, and I appreciate you asking that that question. I feel that I have a responsibility to remain hopeful despite how dark a situation may be. I remain hopeful because I know that we have the type of minds in City Hall and the type of minds in our communities within the city that can come together and produce positive change. It's just a matter of us harnessing, if you will, our emotions, allowing ourselves to grieve, harnessing our emotions, but then moving forward in a direction that's going to benefit everyone. And I think that we have everyone in place to do that.
Wonderful. Well, we look forward to the solutions. We look forward to all coming together. I know you're front and center, a powerful voice amid all of this. And let's hope for brighter times in the future. Thank you, Reverend. Thanks very much.
No problem. Thank you very much.
It's Randall Blakey there. He's a reverend over at LaSalle Street Church, and he had put out an email to the community today to try to say, hey, let's pause for a moment and take in this moment in time and think about where we want to be as a city.